Good morning. Title of my message this morning is, Are You Seizing the Opportunity? And Pastor isn't here, obviously. He had an opportunity for a little last-minute getaway, so he's enjoying some restoration. And of course I'm going to fill in. I'm happy to do so. But it always comes with this like nagging anxiety of kind of, okay, what am I going to talk about? Has to be of the Lord, you know, like getting me out of the way and everything. And I had been preparing, but nothing was like crystal clear. And so I was, Jeff and I, after like we prayed at the office on Thursday, then I was like, man, you know, I have some ideas. I got a lot of things that are percolating around in there, but like nothing is solidified. And I was complaining that like the last time I filled in, it was last minute. And I've like, the Lord gave me a sermon, and within a matter of 2 hours, I was like, boom, ready to go. And I had almost a week this time, and I was floundering. And without knowing it, Pastor confirmed my message for today by telling me how the Lord was going to confirm it. In that meeting, he's like, well, normally the Lord, I mean, he'll confirm it for you, even if it's just something that you heard this week that stuck with you. And I was listening to the proximity conference that took place, and there were two things that stuck with me, and that's where this message was born, I guess you can call it. So, but at the same time, like, as I'm trying to put it together, if you guys can even see this, I mean, my notes look like a game of chutes and ladders. I mean, there's like arrows, there's scratch stuff out, some's cursive. I feel pretty good about it though, but just if I get lost in my own notes, thank you for your patience. But we're gonna cover some scripture today. And, but I know the message is of the Lord, because even after it came together, even after it was confirmed, that anxiety was still there. I was still kept going back and making notes on my notes. And even last night, I set an alarm for this morning, and I probably woke up every hour on the hour. And in between every wake up, I had a nightmare about church today. It was like, I arrived to give the message and I was at the wrong church. And then next time I arrived at this church, but we had received a shipment of filled filing cabinets. The entire church was stuffed with filing cabinets, and then I couldn't find the music. So then I'm trying to pull the music for this morning, and I couldn't find the filing cabinet, okay? So that was like my night last night, and I was laying in bed already awake when my alarm went off, and I was like, okay, that's hilarious, Lord. So he does have a sense of humor, but I'm fired up because if the enemy doesn't want it preached, that means it's important, right? So, Lord, we come to you one more time in prayer. We thank you for this time of genuine worship, lifting you up, Lord. You are worthy that this is about you, Lord. You're to be glorified. Thank you for choosing me as a vessel and that I may share what you've put on my heart, Lord, without hesitation, that it's of you, Lord. Bless this body to receive it and all those that are online. And all this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, are you seizing the opportunity? Our founding scripture is Luke 21. You'll also note all of these yellow post-it notes in here so I can find things quickly. So it's Luke 21, 7 through 19. Teacher, they asked, when will all this take place, and will there be any sign ahead of time? He replied, don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming to be the Messiah, and saying, the time has come, but don't believe them. And when you hear of wars and insurrections, don't panic. Yes, these things must come, but the end won't follow immediately. Then he added, nations and kingdoms will proclaim war against each other. There will be great earthquakes, and there will be famines and epidemics in many lands, and there will be terrifying things and great miraculous signs in the heavens. But before all this occurs, there will be a time of great persecution. You will be dragged into synagogues and prisons, and you'll be accused before kings and governors of being my followers. This will be your opportunity to tell them about me. So don't worry about how to answer the charges against you, for I will give you the right words and such wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to reply. Even those closest to you, your parents, brothers, relatives, and friends will betray you, and some of you will be killed, and everyone will hate you because of your allegiance to me. But not a hair on your head will perish. By standing firm, you will win your souls. Amen. Amen. So, faith is not a spectator sport. It requires action and participation on our part. And I'm going to use Sean, actually, this morning as an example, because we've been hearing such amazing things about how he's crushing it in the pool. And how did he get there? He's had group and individual coaching with an expert. Maybe he upgraded some equipment along the way. Maybe he got a fresh pair of goggles, a super water wicking cap, swim cap. You can tell how hip I am on the swim lingo, okay? And, you know, you've made some changes to your lifestyle so that when you compete, you are positioning and training yourself to win, that you're faster, stronger, smarter than your competition. So what would happen if Sean exercised all of those preparations with precision, but on the day of the meet, you didn't get into the pool? Like, it sounds ridiculous, right? And we can take that analogy, though, and see that in our walk of faith, which requires us to participate. We put one foot in front of the other for forward progress. And where I'm going with this is, you know, thank God we are in a church that preaches the Word of God. And we've spent years now studying the Word. We've been studying Revelation. We've been studying world events, what's going on around us, both globally and locally, taking this truth and knowledge to heart. But my question this morning is, what are you doing with it? Matthew 5:13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it useful again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a mountain glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide your light under a basket. Instead, put it on a stand and let it shine for all. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Amen. And if I read through that again, maybe with some alternatives from what I like to call the Book of Second Opinions. That's not mine. Something Amir says. I think it's hilarious. So if we read an alternate version, that's the Book of Second Opinions. You know, does it say in Matthew 15 to put your light on a stand and let it shine only for other believers that you agree with? Or that you put it on a stand for yourself, so that when you look in the mirror that you can feel good? Or the reason why you do it, is it so that everyone will like you? We just read about how we're going to be persecuted and imprisoned and even killed and betrayed by our family members. Do you do it so everyone will agree with you or praise you for your kind heart? No, it says it's to praise our Heavenly Father. It's all for His glory. You see, the enemy of our souls is using fear and opposition to devastate our faith. That was a slide. Like in the Chutes and Ladders, that's where I broke from one paragraph and have to move on to another one. But what, in reality, these events should be comforting and empowering us, because the Lord told us exactly what was going to happen, right? We have the playbook, and it is time to engage. We have Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is full of living power. We have Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I send it. We have John 1:1-5. In the beginning, the word already existed. He was with God, and he was God. He was in the beginning with God. He created everything there is. Nothing exists that he didn't make. Life itself was in him, and this life gives light to everyone. The light shines through the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Amen. We have Ephesians 6:10-17. A final word. Be strong with the Lord's mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies and tricks of the devil. For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against wicked spirits in the heavenly realms. Use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy in time of evil, so that after the battle, you will still be standing firm. What does that verse tell us? After the battle tells us, one, there's a battle. Okay? Two, you're in it. Then, stand your ground, putting on the sturdy belt of truth. Who is the truth? Jesus. And who did we just read is also the word. So put on the sturdy belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news. What's the good news? The gospel, that Christ came, conquered sin, died, rose again, conquering the grave and sin, and he's coming again. Amen. 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 Put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In every battle, you will need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. Put on salvation as your helpmate, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword is the word, is Jesus, is our offensive weapon. We're not left defenseless, and we have to remember that Satan is the real enemy. That's right. We also have 2 Corinthians 10:3-6. We are human, but we don't wage war with human plans and methods. We use God's mighty weapons, not mere worldly weapons, to knock down the devil's strongholds. With these weapons, we break down every proud argument that keeps people from knowing God. With these weapons, we conquer their rebellious ideas, and we teach them to obey Christ. And we will punish those who remain disobedient after the rest of you became loyal and obedient. The King James version of that is, that you may be more familiar with, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself above the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." At the end of the day, that's what it's all about. Winning souls. That's what this battle is for. It's for eternity. It is winning souls. It's turning people to Christ and glorifying the Father. Amen. Pastor has spoken before about your focus being vertical and versus being horizontal. And the enemy wants our focus on the things of the world, which is world leaders, maybe a certain pestilence, and the treatment for said pestilence, supply chain problems, mandates by our employers, political parties, whether or not you agree with them, inflation, fill in the blank. Like, there are so many distractions going on around us that is taking us away from what we're called to battle to do. Amen? So part of that is we need to make sure that we're right with the Lord, renewing our minds, reading His Word, and standing firm, so when we get that opportunity, because we will get those opportunities, and if we don't, we need to be praying for those opportunities, that people be put into our path that we can share Jesus with, so that we're ready to share Jesus, if only it's making an introduction. You know, I'm not saying that every person that you make eye contact with is going to bend their knee to Christ, but you need to be planting seeds. Maybe you're watering somebody else's seeds. It's about advancing the knowledge of Jesus Christ and who He is and who He is in your life. And if people don't know who He is in your life, then that's where you get back into your Word and figure out that piece of your heart that's calloused that maybe needs to be carved out so Jesus can use you for His glory. Amen. And what I love in that sequence of scripture about the power of the Word of God is that we need to trust in that divine, supernatural power of His Word and the working of the Holy Spirit inside of you. He said that we don't have to worry about it. The Holy Spirit's going to tell you what to say. Not only is He going to tell you what to say, where the person that you're meeting or sharing with, they're not going to have a response because your wisdom is going to be off the charts. And with it, if you think about it, those verses were from one book with 66 chapters, 30-something authors, penned over hundreds of years, but talking about events that were going to span unknowingly thousands of years, and there's not one contradiction because there's really one author. Yes. Do you think that we can trust this? Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I lost my place. So now the root of this message. So what I want to share with you that I've heard in these many, many speakers I was listening to over the week were two things. One was your armor. So we read about the spiritual armor that we're to be wearing. And it was a really cool visual that was given. I couldn't tell you the name, but some English king of yesteryear would inspect his troops' armor after the battle because he wanted to know who was participating and who was looking shiny and new, because they ducked out behind a tree, you know, to wait for the worst of it to be over. And that struck me because, you know, we do stand before the Lord, not in our armor and our glorified bodies, but like when we get to heaven, I started thinking, what's going to be the condition of my armor? Like, are you going to be sweaty and smelly and, like, caught up, and your armor's going to be dusty and dinged up Maybe it's broken, bruised, maybe you lost a piece. I don't know. Or are you going to be like standing around telling war stories with like Peter and Paul and David, and he's like, oh yeah, and I slayed the giant, and you're going to be like, yeah. Like, are you going to have something to contribute when you get there? And that was important to me because I'm not always participating or engaging when the opportunities are in front of me. And the second piece of that was a visual of a wood planer. So I know you know what this is, Roger, but it's a tool that it's a wooden block with a blade on the bottom, and you use it to trim down a piece of wood or shape it. Okay, so it was that these perilous times are like the wood planer, where, you know, particularly, you know, I've been saying that there's not one particular like gaping wound or fiery battle in my life right now, but I still just go to bed exhausted. And that articulated it perfectly. Is I get up in the morning and I'm feeling like a redwood. Man, I am just thick and fired up and tall and strong. And then throughout the day, it's the enemy just has his wood planer, and it's just shaving one little piece off at a time. One layer, one stroke where I couldn't necessarily put my finger on it, but then bedtime, I'm a toothpick. And it's and again, that because I'm a very visual person, obviously, as I'm sharing these things with you, but that's true. And how much more important is it then that we are renewing and refreshing ourselves every day so that we can battle these attacks and be of use for the kingdom of God? That we're not just surviving, that we are actively being used for the kingdom of God in these end days. And to put a bow on it, and these, I was studying the perilous times, and certainly these are the perilous times that we're reading about in Peter. But with this whole message, I looked up the meaning of perilous, okay? And it's the surface level is what we know. It's full of danger, risky, involving exposure to death, destruction or injury, also spiritually dangerous. Okay, so like, not all that appealing knowing that those are the times that we're living in, right? But then when you look at the root meaning, or like the root structure of that word, the pair, the root meaning is to try, risk, which is an extended sense from the root forward via the notion of to lead across and press forward. Is that awesome? That same author wove that deeper meaning into this word, that these perilous times is not something that we're to run and hide from or put up your shield and just crouch down and wait for it to pass over. We're to press forward in a fashion that is leading, because people are going to be following us, right? So the Lord is calling us to battle, and we are to lay aside every weight. We're to seize this opportunity in the day that which we live to tell people about Jesus. Amen? And that's all I have for you. I'm going to finish in prayer. And then we do have a ton of soup and bread downstairs that was announced earlier.
Just a little bit of announcement. Please, everyone, before you start eating, wait for Nanny to give a blessing. We want to thank her for all the times she's been faithful to provide, and we want to honor her today.
Absolutely. Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for this time that we got to spend together with you and in your word. We thank you for your word and the promises and the truth that is here, Lord, that we stand on that and trust in it every day, being built up in you, ultimately for you. Bless this body. Bless our time together in fellowship. pastor a hedge of protection around their family, that they have a wonderful time. Thank you, Lord, for this church body and this building, Lord, that we can fellowship in together. And this week ahead, Lord, that it be a time where we just feel lifted up and lighthearted. And in that redwood phase, not the toothpick phase, Lord. All this we ask in the mighty name of Jesus, and the church said,
Amen.
Amen.